Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to the Agriculture Show. We're going to start just a tad on the early side right now because we can. Yeah. We have empty space and my guest is here, and so we're going to start. Rob, you've got some great songs. Tell us a little bit about your first choice here. Why do you like this song?
Well, the first song is Montgomery Gentry, where I come from. Just kind of explains where I grew up in a small town.
Well, that's a good reason to have a good song, and we're going to play that. So stay tuned, folks. Thanks for listening in. It's the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio, 100.3 Sound FM.
Don't you dare go running down my little town where I grew up, and I won't cuss your city lights. If you ain't ever took a ride around and cruised right through the heart of my town, anything you say would be a lie. We may live our lives a little slower, but that don't mean I wouldn't be proud to show you where I come from. There's an old plowboy out turning up dirt where I come from. There's a preacher man in a cowboy shirt where I come from. Where a couple boys fighting in the parking lot. No, nobody's gonna call the cops where I come from. See that door right there? Man, I swear that it ain't never been locked, and I guarantee that it never will. That old man right there in the rocking chair at the courthouse square, I'll tell you now, he could buy your fancy car with $100 bills. Don't let those faded overalls fool you. He made his millions without one day of schooling. Where I come from, there's a pickup truck with a tailgate down. Where I come from, the pine trees are singing a song of the South. Where I come from, that little white church is gonna have a crowd. Yeah, I'm pretty damn proud. Where I come from.
This is Carla Kale from the Waterloo Region Museum. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture.
And you, in fact, are listening to the Agriculture Show here on CKMS Radio from our lovely studios, 108 King Street North in Uptown Waterloo. My guest today is Rob Miller. Thanks for coming out today, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
Did you bring along this hot weather with today?
Yes, I did. Hopefully it can stay around for a little bit.
And the crops are growing really well because of it, I think, too.
Yeah, the corn loves this heat, that's for sure, especially going into pollination.
So. Yeah, so that's good for, always good news from an agricultural perspective that the crops be, the price is up and down, but it's just a treat to have good crops, isn't it?
Yep, yeah, yep, for sure.
So, Rob, tell us, that's a great song you picked. Where is the little town you came from?
I grew up kind of in Rockwood, just north of Rockwood, so it's a small town just north of Guelph. So I picked that song just because it's always deals with some of the misconceptions of what some people in the city think of a small town. So it's just kind of what I am, that's who I am. So.
And that's a good message, because that's what we're trying to do here in the agriculture show, is just bring that more personable side to agriculture. We all are familiar with headlines, but we also know that there's some good people, and then we know our listeners are interested in agriculture and they want to know more about it. So thanks so much for coming out today. Tell us a little bit about yourself. You're working out of Guelph, and you have your finger in a farm yet by a chance? Are you still farming part-time?
No, I grew up in the country, so I didn't grow up on a farm, but I worked on a bunch of farms when I was younger, and haven't found enough money yet to purchase my own farm, but I've always wanted to have a hobby farm, so that's definitely in the future at some point. So.
That's great. Tell us what you're doing right now.
Okay, so I work for BSF as a technical development manager, so it's kind of in between research, sales, and marketing. So we do a lot of the technical training for sales reps, mm-hmm. Retail agronomists, and work a lot with government and extension as well. So.
Sounds like you have a full plate.
Yeah, it's pretty busy, so it's a great job, that's for sure.
I think our listener would be interested to know how that works, how that's important to them. It's not just as simple as taking a bag of seed and throwing it in the ground. There's a lot more about farming and agriculture that the public would be interested to know. So we're so glad that you're here today to talk about that. This public education or educating people is really a big deal nowadays, isn't it? And I'm sure you're spending a lot more time doing that, just trying to get the message out there. How important is educating the public to the company you work for and anybody in general? What's it like educating the public?
It's always pretty intriguing, because growers want to know more.
Yes.
And they want to know how to improve, especially. How to improve their operations, how to get a good return on their investment. They're investing so much in cropland and infrastructure with grain bins and tractors and all types of equipment. They want to have a good return on investment. So that's why they're always looking for that new technology. They're up to speed on Twitter and the internet, and mm-hmm. That's always a good source to get information. They're always asking more questions on how they improve and how to maximize their potential on their farm.
And when the public asks you about what you do, I guess it's sometimes surprising how little they know about agriculture. How do you handle that? Discussing people with people. Typically, what happens when somebody asks you about agriculture?
Well, I think one thing is that I'm very proud to work in the agriculture industry, so I don't shy away from what we do. But I think it's just kind of there's a lot of misconceptions out there, so. All you have to do is just really educate them, tell them how their food's grown, tell them what type of insects or diseases can start taking over, and wipe out a farmer's crop. And by the end of the conversations, they're usually kind of open to it, or they feel like you've actually educated them a little bit more and open them up to a new perspective on agriculture.
I think you're 100% right there. Like, nothing better than just having some kind of explanation or addressing it, and that calms people that really like that. You know, you're not trying to necessarily win everybody over to your cause overnight, but it certainly feels good when people have listened to what you've said and they've had a conversation, and the world's a much better place.
Yeah.
And but you're not busy working at the office. Do you have some hobbies you like to participate in? Are you a curler?
I like curling. I've only been curling a few times, but I really like it. I think when we move back to a small town, I definitely want to get more involved with curling. But some of my hobbies would be any type of sports, and I also like boating. We have a family cottage up north, and I really like going up there and doing some boating and fishing. So that would be my main passion, that's for sure. So.
Well, that's a good choice, and here in Southern Ontario, we certainly have our opportunities, don't we? They can go. I always get a kick out of those municipalities along Lake Huron. They call themselves the Western Coast, the West Coast of Ontario. That's kind of a catchy phrase, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite fun. And you're probably, folks, we're in Southern Ontario, we're about halfway through the growing season, maybe about right there, I guess. Farmers are, and people like yourself, are looking at the crops, reflecting on what kind of work they did in the spring to grow that crop, the weather conditions. You know, just trying to assimilate all the information as a guidance for next year and what to expect. In general, crops look good this year, don't they?
Yeah, I think really, even though we had a late start, the crops overall look pretty good. The corn is, the corn and the soybeans have both caught up with this heat and the rains that we've had recently. So you know, we still are a little bit behind, but I think we're definitely catching up, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, and then so that's always a good thing that to see a good growing crop and a few more hurdles to overcome. You know, there's always issues of maybe we've had rain, but it's certainly isn't. We haven't had that really long extended dry period yet this summer, which is typical for Ontario on long-term averages, I would think. That can be a challenge.
Yep, that's for sure. I think right now we're going into kind of the critical stages for both corn and soybeans. We need rain in August during that reproductive stages of growth. So that's kind of recurring now for probably the next 3-4 weeks. So if we get a few more rains, then we'll be looking at some better yield potential. So drought is kind of the worst thing that we need at this point. So, but we've been getting pretty patchy rains. So it's kind of, there's always going to be some dry areas. There's always going to be some wet areas.
Yeah, that's funny. When you have pop-up thunderstorms, sure, we got rain, but not everybody. Those big general rains are nice. And we had one event this year. Was it 2 weeks ago? I think we had that overnight event. I think all of Ontario got hit with that rain.
Yep.
For an inch or so. So that's real. That's the $1 million rain. Of course, nowadays it should be the $1 billion rain, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah, but there's always bad timing for some things because winter wheat's coming off right now, so no one wants rain for that, and guys are cutting hay as well. But so there's always, you can't please everybody, that's for sure. So no. Corn, soybeans need rain, but the wheat and the hay that's knocked down, you don't want to see any raindrops. So.
We'd all be motorcycling like that motorcycle that just went by. We're on our studios here on TKMS. We're right on downtown King Street, the main street in Kitchener-Waterloo, and lots of traffic going by with our windows open today. We're enjoying the street noises as well. So, Rob, let's play a song here. I got some more tuned up that you brought in. Is it one you'd like to hear of all your collection?
I think we'll go with Alan Jackson Drive.
Okay, Alan Jackson. I saw that here. There it is. Okay, I found it. Your host found their song. Another great selection that Rob has brought in with him. And my guest today is Rob Miller from BASF Canada. And you're listening to The Agriculture Show. And this is episode 84 on July the 22nd of 2014. We shall be right back.
Painted red, the stripe was white, it was 18 feet from the bow to the stern light. Second hand from a dealer in Atlanta, I rode up with Daddy when he went there to get her. Put on a shine, put on a motor, built out of love, made for water. Ran her for years till her transom got rotten. A piece of my childhood that'll never be forgotten. It was just an old plywood boat, the 75 Johnson electric choke. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would turn her sharp knife, make it whine. He'd say, you can't beat the way an old wood boat rides. Just a little lake across the Alabama line, but I was king of the ocean when Daddy let me drive. Just an old half-ton short bed Ford my uncle bought new in 64. Daddy got it right cause the engine was smoking, a couple of burnt valves and he had it going. Let me drive her, we'd haul off a load down a dirt strip where we'd dump trash off a thick pin road. I'd sit up in the seat and stretch my feet out to the pedals, smiling like a hero that just received his medal. It was just an old hand-me-down Ford with 3-speed on the column and a dent in the door. A young boy, two hands on the wheel. I can't replace the way it made me feel. And I would press that clutch and I'd keep it right. He'd say, a little slower, son, you're doing just fine. Just a dirt road with trash on each side, but I was merry, oh, and ready when Daddy let me drive. I'm grown up now, three daughters of my own. I let them drive my old Jeep across the pasture at our home. Maybe one day they'll reach back in their file and pull out that old memory and think of me and smile and say, it's just an old worn out Jeep, rusty old floorboards, hot on my feet. A young girl, two hands on the wheel, I can't replace the way it made me feel. And he'd say, turn it left and steer it right, straighten up girl, now you're doing just fine. Just a little valley by the river where we'd ride, but I was high on a mountain when Daddy let me drive. Daddy let me drive. Oh, he let me drive. She's just an old plywood boat with a 75 Johnson electric choke.
Hi, this is Goretti Diaz. I'm from the University of Waterloo. You're listening to the Agricultural Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of society.
And thanks for listening in today, folks, on this beautiful warm day in July. My guest today is Rob Miller from BSF Canada. It's your host, Jeff Steger of the Agriculture Show. Another great song there. Rob, what's that one about? That's a good country and western tune.
I think that was kind of about some of my hobbies, my passion. So for boating, because whenever he's out there on the boat, that always reminds me of being out there on the water. So.
Any other hobbies you like doing? You're going to try curling, bravely. More curling.
Yeah. So I like hockey, baseball are probably my two favorite sports, and just being outdoors, anything outdoors, camping, doesn't matter if it's summertime or wintertime. I love all four seasons. So also love snowmobiling as well. So
well, you had a good time but last year. I think the trails even down here in Waterloo County were open for the most part. It's quite amazing. I think all the way down to Brant and Oxford County had their trails open.
Yeah, we haven't had winter like that for a few years. That's
for
sure.
Years for sure. Did you check out the World Cup while it was on? I kind of got looking at that.
A little bit. I didn't really watch the World Cup. I just watched the main games a little bit. They're kind of at the end with the scores, so didn't get to watch it too much. So
it's quite amazing to think of it. Every 4 years, a whole world tournament like that comes along with all those guys playing. It's pretty impressive.
Yep, some of those countries take it pretty serious, that's for sure. So just kind of like we do with hockey. So.
Yeah, just like that. I get it from that perspective, even though it's not a familiar game to most of us here, but it's you certainly can see the fans' passion.
Yeah, for sure.
So we were just talking before in our first segment a little bit about yourself and some agricultural stuff and comes and goings, and so I think we kind of decided we might talk a little about fungicide in this at this segment. And I'll let you speak to it, but tell our listeners who may not be farm-oriented just what the heck the problem is with fungicides and what's going on out there and what the application is.
Well, I guess there's a lot of diseases that are starting to develop in Ontario corn and soybean crops, so some of them can have an impact. Last year we had a large economic issue with some certain parts of the province with certain corn leaf blight disease, and basically, it can take anywhere from 30 to 40 bushels per acre. So that's anywhere from $120 to $150 per acre that's coming out of a farmer's pocket. So it's kind of a disease that's coming in late in the season. It blows in from any of the thunderstorms that we get from the U.S. So it actually picks up the inoculum from the U.S. and the thunderstorm drops it wherever it does drop the rain. So if we do get any driving thunderstorms that are coming up, usually that's kind of the source of the disease that comes into the Ontario crops.
So. I think there's a part too, maybe our listeners be interested, but there is a website, I know I went up for Fusarium and wheat, and it was the Fusarium pressure at that time, which is it was a calculating the humidity and temperatures and those issues, and that we know when that really encourages Fusarium to come across. So if the public wanted to find out more about the type of disease pressure that's out there, there must be websites that would show that.
Yep. So similar to Fusarium, I think it's Doncast for Fusarium.
Okay.
I'm not sure if there is any for some of these corn or soybean leaf diseases that are starting to come in this point, but it's going to be definitely be on the radar for sure. So it's fungicides and leaf diseases in general were a pretty hot topic after last year.
Yeah. So the deal with the fungus in crops is that the yield goes down and the quality gets harder to maintain, and long term that's not good for the consumer. Like the whole point of what we do on the farm is to produce high quality crops, and so the very important issue to address for the good of the consumer.
Yep, for sure, because we're trying to produce more food on fewer acres, so that trying to get maximum yield on the same amount of on land or less land is very beneficial for sure. So
yeah, so people, the industry is working hard to make sure that what we've become accustomed to in Ontario and Canada is good food at a really good price. I know it sounds funny, but compared to the rest of the world, people don't appreciate that we only pay. You know, we're one of the lowest costs of food per income, per capita. Disposal income in the world, whereas the Europeans, also a civilized area or Western type thing, is paying up to 25% of their income on food. So by the efforts of people like yourself and those in the industry, that we keep that price pretty low.
Yep, for sure. It's we're definitely very lucky to live where we do right now. That's for sure.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're looking at nowadays, as of today, Don mentioned, was how we handle rust and fungicides in crops. And what typically does a farmer have to do from day to day now to decide whether he wants to use that product or not?
Well, it all comes down to hybrid selection. Corn hybrid selection is the most important decision that you can probably make on your farm, because it. With the new hybrids that we have out on the market today, they have tolerance to some of these diseases. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing is starting to get some new strains that are starting to develop, especially after last year, that are starting to not necessarily get tolerance to these to the genetics that we have in Ontario, but there's just new ones starting to develop that the genetics don't have any activity on, or don't have as much activity on. So with these new strains that are developing, that's where we see the benefit of applying a fungicide on your crop to protect your investment.
Yeah, it's Mother Nature always wins, but from time to time we leverage enough to get what we need as people, which is a food product off. But so it's an ongoing, never ending. We'll call it a dance between where Mother Nature is going and what we're trying to do to provide food for people. I mean, it is research and chemicals and management practices, all a whole bunch of different ways. Like, is there a way for people, a farmer, to control rust? What kind of crop rotation makes it tougher or worse to handle fungus, where you might not have to use fungicides, or will have to use fungicides? What kind of dynamics are going on there for our listeners?
Yeah, so crop rotation is very important for managing diseases in all crops. So if you're growing like a typical corn, wheat, soybean rotation, that's 3 years for that disease. So that kind of extends or prolongs the time for that disease to develop. So your chances of getting diseases would be a lot lower, whereas if you compare it to a monoculture cropping system, such as a corn-on-corn rotation, that's where you start to see the disease start to thrive, because that disease needs that host crop in order to thrive. So we've been dealing with that in the horticulture industry, like apples, for example, would be a monoculture crop. They come up every year. So
yeah, in the orchard.
Yeah. So you're trying to control those diseases year after year. Whereas in other more row cropping systems, you have that flexibility of using a diverse crop rotation to kind of decrease that disease potential.
Mm. Yeah, so depending on the crop, it doesn't matter. It's all together different handbag full of tools to work against that problem.
Yep.
Oh my. Well, it, and I guess if people had questions, they could certainly go to 1-800-HELPLINE BASF, and they'd probably get an answer if they were just curious.
Yep.
what website do people go to if they, maybe not so much in regards to our show, but just in general, most of the industries involved in agriculture do have websites. What's the website for your group?
So our website for BASF would be www.agsolutions.ca, and there's two websites there. There's one for Eastern Canada, one for Western Canada, and it deals with all the different products, and there's a bunch of YouTube videos that explain all the diseases and how to manage some of these diseases or weeds or whatever you're looking at as well. So,
and is there someone on Twitter at headquarters, or is that left to the individuals like yourself?
Yeah, so we do have a Twitter feed. It's BASF Ag Solutions on Twitter, and there's also a number of BASF people on Twitter as well. I'm kind of relatively new to Twitter, so
that makes both of us.
Yeah, I don't tweet too often. I like to follow to see what's going on in the industry, but I notice a lot of farmers, as well as industry personnel, are on Twitter a lot, and there's a lot of information being circulated on Twitter, and lots of photos and stuff like that. So it's a good way to keep up to date, for sure.
Well, you know, it may be true that you and I don't Twitter, but we sure can radio.
Yep.
And not many people can do radio.
Yep, that's true. So
not saying we're good at it, but we are doing it.
Yep, we are doing that.
All right, let's play another tune here. What would be your pleasure?
I think the third one was Harvest Time by Luke Bryan.
I found it. Okay, we're going to play that. Stay tuned, folks. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you in a few minutes with our guests, and we'll get into segment number three and talk a little bit more about what's in the future, perhaps, of what people can look forward to in agriculture. Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Corn husks drifting through the air tonight. The marching band's warming up under the football lights. There's tractor trailers backed up down by the elevators. Train track grain car will roll in later. Get filled up and head on out in the world. It's harvest time in this little town. Time to bring it on. Pay the loans down, fill our diesel tank up, make another round. There's a big red moon coming up in the sky. Combines cutting in a staggered line. The only time of year we miss the church bells chime. It's harvest time. There's a thermos and a water jug rolling around in the cab. A set of socket wrenches wrapped up in a greasy red rag. Bobby's mother pulls in the field bringing us supper. We grab a bite and make sure to hug her. Saddle back up and let the big wheels roll. It's harvest time in this little town. Time to bring it on in. Pay the loans down, fill the diesel tank up, and make another round. There's a big red moon coming up in the sky. Combines cutting in a staggered line. The only time of year we miss the church bells chime. It's harvest time. At a quarter till two, I kick off my boots in the laundry room. We'll start it all over tomorrow at noon. Till it's all done, until we're all done. It's harvest time. Town, time to bring it on in. Pay the loans down, fill the diesel tank up, and make another round. There's a big red moon coming.
cutting in a staggered line. The only time of year we miss the church bells chime. It's harvest time. It's harvest
time. Hi, I'm Rob Miller from BASF. You are listening to the Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Federation of Agriculture. The Waterloo Federation of Agriculture represents the farmer producers in the region of Waterloo. Our goal is to promote the farm community in support of the innovation, hard work, and compassion that is emblematic of the region of Waterloo. The WFA strives to bring together the policy needs of the farmer with the needs of the society.
All right, so much for doing that, Rob. That's about what we're trying to do here, and I think we're just delighted you're here as a guest today. We hope we're fulfilling that mandate, talking about agriculture, and you're come with the experience of being in the industry, and we've done pretty good so far, talking a little about yourself and a typical situation in the field, which is fungicide. Before I forget, great song there. It is harvest time, and there's a good song about harvest.
Yep.
And up in your home next to the woods there, it'll be a ways yet, won't it? Like, I think they're just starting probably in Windsor about now.
Yeah, they're starting Windsor area. They're just starting to open up a few fields around the London area, so down south. So they'll probably be starting within a week, that's for sure. So.
Yeah. It's just the harvest time in Ontario, finally. It went soft winter wheat first, and then soft red, I guess, soon after, about the same, and then the hard reds after that, so it's all starting to come after all that hard work and time. It's now it's time for that harvest. So,
yep,
yeah. What would be fun to do here right now, I think, and let's talk a little bit about the future of agriculture. There's been so many changes, and the public's just catching up. What would we tell the public about what to look forward in the future? Greater and more wonderful things, so that we can get kind of. Give people a heads up so they can find out ahead of time what's going on. What do you say? I mean, there must be so much. What comes to mind, first of all, what to expect in the future in the next 5-10 years?
Well, I think probably if we look into our crystal ball, there's going to be a lot more. Agriculture is going to be a lot more technically advanced, so technology is going to make leaps and bounds, whether it's crops or whether it's tractors with auto steers that drive themselves or sprayers with automatic shutoffs and booms. I think that type of technology is progressing so quickly, much faster than it has in the last 10 years. So if we come out with new technologies as well, it's going to be different products on the market, different hybrids mm-hmm. that are more tolerant to the various diseases as well as insects. So you rely less on chemical applications as well. There's going to be even just the new products that come out. So if it is new chemicals, they're going to be much safer. There's going to be much safer for humans as well as beneficial insects. Mm-hmm. Bees is always a hot topic as well. So I think that that new technology, the new products that come out are going to be very advanced and it's going to be a pretty exciting time in agriculture.
Maybe even some new crops too. There's an ability to make crops exhibit certain qualities as far as like soybeans comes to mind with linoleic acid. That's thought to be a worthwhile crop, but there hasn't been quite the market. I mean, the varieties available, they just seem to can't find a processor or get enough. You have to have a certain minimum size to make it worthwhile, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yep.
So, but maybe over time we'll see even more specialized crops, we'll see. Maybe wheat that tastes like strawberries. I don't know.
Yeah, you never know. So it could even be out there. So.
if the public wanted to know more about these sorts of things, is there a place where they can go and see the latest crystal ball gazing, as you say, and what to expect? There's so much stuff on the internet. It's hard to. What type of spots do you like to surf around the internet when it comes to agriculture?
I kind of look at the Crop Life Canada website. Mm-hmm. That kind of is so Crop Life is kind of a group that is made up of all the different agriculture companies and kind of deal with a lot of the public perceptions and the technology that's on the market. And their job is to educate the public as well as, you know, what's going on in agriculture and what the agriculture community is doing to sustaining the environment as well. So what types of things that we're doing with our Clean Farms program, recycling pesticide jugs to make fence posts and all that type of stuff out of. So it's a way to educate them, especially a lot of the misconceptions on what the public might perceive as genetically modified organisms as well. So they handle that as well.
Yeah, that's good. So there's no shortage of places to go to read more about it if you wanted to. And like everything else, we encourage listeners to do that, to find out for their own purposes, for what their needs and what they think is important about new technologies, not just agriculture. There's lots here. There's all those new things nowadays. You can find out most of the time what you're looking for. Although I wish I was privy to some of those more private databases that had some real good information, and I'm getting pretty tired of clicking on links and all kinds of other stuff shows up.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to find some of those links, that's for sure. So yeah, there's a lot of information out there, which is good.
What's a typical day like for you in working for BASF? You're in the area now for this a week or two, I guess, doing meetings in Guelph, head office, I suppose. You mentioned you were just back from a field tour.
So around the summertime, we have a lot of field tours. So we do a lot of grower events in fields. We have plot tours. So we show customers, retailers, or farmers the latest and greatest, what's coming on the market.
Yep.
We do a lot of educational series, so training people on what to look for, what diseases are actually present, what do the diseases look like in the various crops, and talk about different application timings. How do you get the best out of your fungicide or your herbicide, and also talking about resistant weeds, which is a hot topic in agriculture in Ontario, as weeds are starting to evolve and develop resistance to the chemistry that we have out there. So,
and you probably have to do regular upgrading on your own. I suspect you're forgive me wrong, but you're probably a certified crop agronomist.
Yep,
and that requires every year a certain amount of upgrading. You have to gather credits.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. So tell our listeners about that process, so make sure that this is how people know that people like yourself are on the cusp of what's new.
So in order to become a certified crop advisor or a CCA, which a lot of the retail and agronomists have, they have to do, I think it's 40 hours of educational series. So they get a credit for roughly every hour, and there's four different groups. There's pest management, there's nutrient management, there's soil and water conservation, and I'm drawing a blank here for the fourth one, but there is four different groups.
Yeah,
so
that's fine.
And then they have to in order to keep that up to date, they have to have 40 credits over a 2-year period. And then they come to all these conferences and have government extension, as well as people from the University of Guelph and Ridgetown College talk and present and educate them on new use patterns and how to be more sustainable and how to just overall just education on what's going on in the agriculture industry today.
So I would suspect that's probably a lot in the wintertime. Or when do a lot of these courses come along?
Some are in the winter, but sometimes you can get some at some of these plot tours as well. So the Ridgetown Diagnostic Day, as well as Kempville Diagnostic Day, where they have a couple hundred people show up, you can get the Certified Crop Advisor credits at some of those, and they have each stations that are about half hour talking about what's going on in agriculture, what to look for, what diseases and pests to scout for, and how to scout for them.
Well, it's certainly no shortage of being able to keep up to date on what's new and what's working, what's not working. Agriculture is changing, and I just might remark that, I mean, it's just really unique that you're here on a radio station talking about it. It's yet again an important part of your whole business plan is to be available for discussion and what people want about agriculture. Is this something new in the industry, something that's been around for some time, or how is this public outreach working?
I would say, and this is just my personal opinion, I think
we
haven't done a very good job at educating the public.
Yeah.
So I think probably in the next few years you'll start to see various organizations start to do a better job through the media and through through sources like Twitter on educating the public and try to deal with some of those misconceptions on what's going on in the agriculture industry today. So
it's amazing when you think, you know, as a full-time agriculturalist in Ontario, you not only have to have your hat and boots on, but also the ability to talk about what you're doing.
Yep. And yep, for sure. So.
Yeah. So, you and I are both alumni from University of Guelph, and boy, at that time when I was in the 70s, hate to admit to that, you know, there was hardly anything on media. But that's a very important part of the curriculum now at Guelph, I think.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. And media is very important on how to get the word out there, and even social media as well. That's just exploded in the last few years. I remember when I graduated in 2004, we actually have our 10-year reunion coming up this year.
Congratulations.
Thanks. It's actually this weekend. So, but I remember when I first started working for this company, I was one of the first of my friends to actually have a cell phone. That was only 10 years ago. And and now my niece, who's 3 years old, knows how to use a cell phone probably better than I do. So
yeah,
just how to get games. So it's surprising how things have changed and where people can get their information from.
It is a huge change. I hate to admit how much change I've seen, and I always thought my parents saw a lot. So I guess that's the nature of our species. It's just rapid change going on all the time, and who knows what the future will bring for all of us. But I sure appreciate you mentioning a little bit of one of the things you mentioned about the future, that, you know, there'll be new varieties and new techniques for producing more with less disease and insect pressures. Boy, who knows? It'll be a combination of techniques and technologies. You just have our listeners keep an eye out for what's coming up and just be amazed at the science behind it and trying to, bring that, make that it consistent with environmental and whatever guidelines that we have and will be having in the future. So, lots of people to consider there.
Yep.
Let's play another song.
Okay.
What do you want to play?
I think there was a canola song out there. So
there is a canola song.
Yeah.
Thank goodness today Alice is in studio. Hi, Allison. How you doing? Let's wave.
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. She's come along and she saved us today. She found a good song here, and we'll play it first. And I guess we could. Well, we'll play it first, and we'll talk a little bit about where the song came from.
Okay.
So it's the Agriculture Show at CKMS Radio 106.5 FM, and you listen to us live and at our studio, 108 King Street North. And we'll be right back.
So what's this song?
Odyssey. The choice is yours, as you can see.
control is the key. The only system for you and me is the clear field, yeah! Is the system that you should throw. The only one that's toe-to-toe. Also the one that has no GMO. Come on! We're crazy for canola. We're crazy for the clear field system now. We're crazy for canola. We're crazy for the clear field system now. We're crazy for canola. We're crazy for the system now. We're crazy for canola. We're crazy for the clear field system now. Oh yeah. We're crazy for the clear field system now. Yeah. We're crazy for the clear field system now.
Hi there, I'm Mark Schwerin from Region Waterloo Public Health, and you're listening to The Agriculture Show on CKMS Radio 100.3 Sound FM. The Agriculture Show is brought to you by the Waterloo Region Federation of Agriculture.
Okay, and so we're back, and it's The Agriculture Show, and thanks for listening in, folks. Stay tuned, stay locked in. Today's guest is Rob Miller with from BASF Canada, which I can barely mumble out, but I made it, I think. We've covered a lot of stuff today. Let's do a little review of what's happened and what we're doing. And if anything else comes to mind that you want to talk about, this is a good time to kind of bring it up. So we talked a little bit about your upbringing. You're a country kid, not necessarily on a farm, but looking forward to having a farm someday. Are you a married guy with kids yet, or are you a single person running around?
Not yet. We're actually getting married this fall. So.
Congratulations.
Thanks. Good.
And are you going to call Guelph area your home? Or?
Right now I live in London, but we actually just bought a house in Guelph, so I'll be moving there in 7 weeks.
Sorry. 7 weeks. Seven days is pretty scary.
Yep.
7 weeks will be here soon enough.
Yep.
So you're and Guelph is that's where head office is too, I think, right?
BASF headquarters would be in Mississauga.
Okay, so you're close to those guys in case they want to talk to you.
Yep.
Which is good and bad, I suppose. No, it's all good. And then we talked a little bit about, you're out there curling and boating and a few things. And that you've working for BASF, and gave us a little story about the challenges this year, which is fungicides, why we use them and when we use them. Finally, we were talking about the future of agriculture, and I don't know if we can give it proper justice, but there's techniques and there's different new sciences coming out. Is there anything that you'd like to mention as far as what people can look forward to? Should they start looking for new labels or something? Or?
Well, basically, whenever we come out with a new product, it takes anywhere from 10 to 14 years in order to get it registered. So our initial screening tests, we started with about 140,000 analogs with the hope that we get actually one product out of that. So that's why it takes numerous amount of years. So if we develop a brand new product today, it might not be available for farmers for 10 to 12 years by the time we go through all the studies and stuff like that. So the stuff that we've been working on, like we're launching Preaxor, a new fungicide this year. So we've been doing a lot of research on that in Ontario and in our labs probably for the last 12 years before we actually get registration of it. So it's a very intense screening process that we go through here. So.
Yeah. And there's lots of regulation and the appropriate information has to be passed along to the regulatory committee in Ottawa. And so there's a lot of work involved in bringing new products to market.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And it is very exciting. And our pipeline is pretty full. We're constantly hiring new people to do research on these projects for sure. So,
So if you're looking for a job in agriculture or in the biological sciences, you can, you probably got a, most websites have a thing in there, a career with us type thing. So it's just, I know, though, having looked at the BASF website, I'm not too sure. What was that again? It was not BASF.com. It was.
So we have, for any job opportunities, we go through Ag Careers as well.
Oh, okay.
But our overall website for crop protection is www.agsolutions.ca.
.ca. Okay, so that's good. Well, I think of it, and I guess we went by too fast. The last song was Crazy for Clear Field.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that song as best you can. I know it's before... It was earlier than when your career with them, but you probably did, you want to tell us what that, what's that song about?
Okay, well, that's actually the first time I've heard that song, but it was
oh my goodness,
I've heard about it a few times, yeah. And that's actually performed by one of our sales reps in Manitoba, Greg Stanky.
Yeah,
and he has a band that he sometimes plays at some of our regional meetings. So, Clearfield is a production system. It's a non-GMO system that that we have mostly in Western Canada. So it's just a new weed management strategy that is tolerant to some of the herbicides on the market. So, like I said, it's a non-GMO, and there's multiple crops. Clearfield, canola, lentils, and wheat are probably the main ones out there that we sell.
So. Yeah, so that's good. Isn't it quite amazing? You have a songwriter and singer amongst your peer group in the company.
Yeah, it's pretty fun at meetings. That's for sure.
So. I would think. And, you know, you have a good collection of dedicated individuals at the farmer and public level. I've been, as my career farm, I've talked to BASF persons over the years and seen, as thoughtful of what the farmer wants, thoughtful about what products are going to work, and try to do the best to give solutions to what the farmer needs for his agriculture. And so I guess that's still true, and ever more so, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah, it's all about educating the farmer, working with farmers and our retailer network on finding solutions for a problem, and they might not even know that they have a problem. So that's why it's a great job to do. Great company to work for as well, because you're always working in the industry. You're outside on days like today,
yeah,
talking to farmers and trying to solve their problems. So.
And also, you have a new job these days. It's much more media related too.
Yep. Just starting getting into that. So.
Yeah. any words of advice for people when it comes to media? Not necessarily agriculture, but it's just something that is not meant to distress people, but it's a chance to learn more. Well, how are you experiencing media nowadays? You're learning. You find that it's a good thing. You're learning things you might not before. Or
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing. I think the main thing with dealing with the media is they want their listeners to learn more. It's all of an education process, and I think whether it's doing YouTube videos or doing radio shows, it's all about education, and people just want to learn more, and some people want to learn, some are more advanced and some are not as much, but that's fine. You can find the right balance, and they can always contact you afterwards for finding out more information as well, or searching websites as well.
So no, if there's no lack of things to see and do when it comes to agriculture and the sciences, and so don't be afraid, folks. You can jump up and find out and have your questions asked, and then as most of us don't necessarily take the first answer as we see on the press, it's want to investigate a bit more what's going on. So.
Yep, yeah, for sure. Don't believe everything that you read or that pops up on Facebook. So.
Yeah, without having a quick look anyway, just check this out.
Yep, for sure.
What is going on here? So, well, listen, anything else we should cover? I guess we probably went around the block here with everything. We've talked about yourself, talked about the company, talked about the future a bit. Any other words of advice for our listeners or people?
Not really, just great. Thanks for having us on here today. So,
good.
And any other... Any more information about any BASF products, they can go to www.agsolutions.ca.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks again, Rob, for coming out. And thanks to you, for the listener, for listening in today at CKMS Radio, 1.7 FM. It's your AgriCall Show, your host, Jeff Steger. And we shall hopefully see you in 120 hours? What's 2 weeks time? A week times 20. I have to figure this out, but in a week. All right. We'll see you later. Take care. And if you've ate today, remember, thank the farmer. Bye for now.